Well, good morning. We are tag teaming this morning, so it's going to be fun. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. For those of you who forgot it was Mother's Day, I will give you a special dispensation to just go out right now and find a gift or a reservation somewhere, at some place. Happy Mother's Day, moms. We are so appreciative of you. I think as a parent, seeing all that, you know, my wife went through as being a mom, it just gave me such a greater appreciation for even my own mom. So thank you, moms. We love you and celebrate you all today. We have a special day here for us as we are laying out for you kind of a plan and a vision forward of what we are going to be doing as a church. We are going to be where we have been and what we are doing now and where we are going in the future as a church body. Just what has happened in the last few months with our transition to Sunday mornings and our move towards autonomy, and what that looks like for us, what that means for us. And so we're going to be working together, Daniel and I, this morning to kind of tag team that. I just have a little survey for you. Just raise your hand. Help me out. How many of you here today were a part of Saratoga at the Terra Saratoga, the very launch, that first day? Raise your hands for me. Okay. How many of you started coming to Saratoga on when it was meeting here on Sunday nights? Okay. How many of you have been here since January? Okay. A few more. And the rest of came today. So welcome. We're glad you're here. The reason I asked that is just so we get an idea of where we are as we go through and tell the history about how Saratoga started up here, what God has been doing and where we're going. My name is Scott. For those of you who are new or who are listening online, I am the lead pastor here, and this is Daniel. So I asked Daniel to just share a little bit about your story here and your history. You've been here longer than most. So,
yeah, my story when it comes to Terra Nova as a whole would have began really back in 2006 when that fall my wife and I moved to this area and we got involved with the Troy location. And I'll zoom right through kind of the history of that era of season of life. But we plugged in right away with Terra Troy, and I was involved in, I was in seminary at that time and a pastoral internship in Troy. And then in 2011, I graduated seminary, took the next 3 to 6 months to really pray and talk with Leah about the elders who had approached me with the opportunity to be the location pastor here in Saratoga. From the beginning of that process, I was already pretty confident the Lord was leading us in that direction and excited about that prospect. But towards the end of 2012, the beginning of 2012, kind of gave the thumbs up there, and then came on staff July of 2012, and that's right when we began kind of the core phase of Terra Saratoga. Some of you remember the picnic out at the Boston Spa Recreation Center, and then that fall when we launched our core phase at Temple in their youth facility for those 3 months. That was a great chapter. And then in January of 2013 when we launched here at FBC in the evenings. So it's been a joy to be a part of Terra, especially over the last 3.5 years with you guys. But it's neat also to see from kind of ground zero when we started in 2006 where Terra has come in that time.
What does it mean to be a location pastor? What is it that you did as location pastor here?
You know, it's funny. It's a lot of the same things that I'm doing now or will continue to do. So as a location pastor, I was kind of the boots on the ground overseeing local discipleships or our tribes and counseling here locally, operations here on Sundays when we gathered for worship and kind of the admin that took place during the week just to keep things going. I was kind of the touch point for the Terra Nova elders here in Saratoga for those 3 years with Paul Gordon, Pastor Paul and Pastor Ed serving as the executive and lead pastors respectively for both locations at that time. So now kind of Scott has seamlessly transitioned into that lead pastor role, and I'm continuing on with a lot of those discipleship and operations aspects that I was already doing for the last 3.5 years.
So as Daniel said, Terra Saratoga really began as a location of Troy. Many of you jumped into this church plant and the location plant from Troy that began in 2012, 2013. And I was able to be a part of that in a very great way on that first day as you met at Newtown Road and just behind the scenes, just cheering you on. And so it was so neat to be able to see what God was doing and moving being able to be here at FBC that first night on Sunday night when you gathered here. Great history. Over the years, Terra has been known in the community, known in the Capital District for a church that has a desire to plant churches. That is what Terra Nova set out to be, to do. And so planting this location here in Saratoga just made sense. And as the leaders began to pray about the future, about how to best go about planting and seeing more churches planted in the Capital District and beyond, the plans began to shift towards moving to a network of churches, a network of interdependent churches that work closely together like a family. I think we have a slide here to kind of give you a little preview of what this looks like for us. Here in the center, you see we are a network of churches, Terra Nova churches. There's a church in Troy, the church in Saratoga, and we are launching, Pastor Paul is launching a Berkshire location as well. All are functioning together as a family of churches, working together interdependently, yet at the same time autonomously, independently, working with their own leadership teams and their own way they function within their community. What does it mean for us to be an interdependent network? What does it mean for us to be a family of churches? It means we share, serve, and send together. These are the three S's of the network that you'll hear a lot of over the next few months and years. We have a shared mission and vision, a mission to make more and better disciples of Jesus. This is what we desire. This is what all these churches will share in common, a part of this network, a desire to make more and better disciples in the locations that they are in. We have a shared DNA, kind of a core characteristics of who we are, how we do church, how we incarnate ministry and mission in our communities, shared beliefs, shared values. We share the network-wide events, and you'll see this coming throughout the year. As a part of a network, we will join these other churches for big events, some being like the Imago Retreat or the Poema Retreat, even some of our youth events and things like that. We are going to try to do together as a family, sharing those things. As an interdependent network, we're going to be planting other churches. As you see here on the slide, there's a kind of mystery church over here on the side, and that's our kind of speaks to our desire to continue to be a network and a church that plants churches. And speaking from kind of coming from where I have been, serving as executive pastor at the Church of Newtown Road or Temple Baptist for many years, I've been on the other side of this church planting thing. I've seen churches planted through denominations. I've seen churches planted through independent churches launched. I've seen it done well. I've seen it done poorly. And what excites me about this network is I think it provides the best of both worlds. It provides a family. It provides a structure. It provides a backbone for planting churches. And then it provides the accountability and structure behind it that come along, the support that comes along with it. Because it's not just us here on our own, outside of any other help or any other prayers. We have a whole group of people, a group of elders who are concerned about and praying for and thinking on, and even a family of believers outside of that who are praying for what's happening here and going on here. And just speaking to that from kind of the outside view looking in, I think this is such a great strategy. Along with our interdependence as a network, we're going to serve. The pastors of each location, of each independent church, serve the network. For example, I'm going to be helping work build the network's corporate structure because that's kind of my wheelhouse. Daniel is going to be working in the next few months here on the redemption groups for the network, kind of serving the network in that capacity. We're also going to be sending. The idea is that we be a church that plants churches because we feel like this is the best way that we can make disciples. This is the best way that we can go to the ends of the earth with the gospel is to plant churches everywhere that we can. And so we are going to be working with a network on a residency program where we're going to have students who graduate from seminary come and take residence within our churches and serve our churches in capacities, learning what they need to know as they go out and launch. It's going to give us a reservoir of people that we can plant in other churches and other locations. I think for so many years, and Daniel, you could probably speak to this too, so many years, the church has abdicated its role in training up the next generation of leaders. The church has kind of said, you know, I've seen it happen before. As someone comes and says, I feel like God's called me to be a pastor. And it's kind of like, okay, go to seminary and see if you make it, right? And if you get through that, then come back and they just jump right into service. Well, the residency program is going to help us as we train and as we develop the next generation of leaders and build them up and equip them to be the leaders they can be, because so much rises and falls on leadership. I don't know if you have any comments on that, but
yeah. Well, without this necessarily intending to have been what their intentions were, I think I was kind of along with some other guys, a prototype of the residency moving forward in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because while I was in seminary, I was also in a pastoral internship at Terra, and my seminary experience was great and was an important process of the development of my understanding of theology and God's Word and how to understand who he is, and the beginnings of how to then be able to pass that along in ministry to others. But really, where the rubber hit the road for me was in my time at Terra. And so this is just kind of formalizing and taking to the next level what I experienced over those 4 years of my time before I came on staff.
And I would say that this is something that really excites me about the network, just because I feel like this is something that's so needed within the church culture as a whole. Part of our, so we're going to be sharing, we're going to be serving, and we're going to be sending with the network, helping prepare the next generation, but also with church planning. Our commitment is to be a church that plants churches. This is what we are intending to do. And so 10% of our tithes and offerings will go to support the network to send future churches, to share, serve, and send other churches in the future as we go, to help build this network of churches, this network of families, all over the Capital District and beyond. So that's what it means for us to be a part of this network. It's a family. It's a family of churches working closely together, sharing what we can, resourcing each other, serving one another, caring for one another. And it has been an exciting experience, I would say, over the past 3 months, just to get to see as this is developing. And we're kind of really just still dreaming and seeing how God is leading us and directing us. So what does it mean for us to be a part of a network, but also be an independent church? What that means for us is that we are going to be independent in our finances. Our goal is to be self-sustaining. Over the past few years, the congregation in Troy and the church in Troy has kind of subsidized what's happening here. And our goal is to get to the place where we can function independently financially, so we can be sustainable financially, so that what comes in here supports the ministry that goes on here in Saratoga. We're going to have an independent leadership, which means we're going to be having we have our own elders that work here specifically for Saratoga. Right now, Daniel and I are the elders of Terra Saratoga, and our goal is and our hope is, and I'll talk about this in a second, that we can develop new leaders. It means that we have an independent expression of the mission and vision of Terra Nova. As we work and as we serve in our community, we realize that how we do church here in Saratoga with the people of Saratoga might be different than how they operate in the Berkshires or how they operate in Troy, because the people are different. And so being independent means we have autonomy to be able to work with and serve our community in the way we see best fits our community with where we are. So what does this look like for us in the next year of transition as we are moving away from a kind of one church, multiple locations model to a autonomous yet interdependent model? For us, some of our first goals, as we've talked about it, is leadership development. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some to be the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. One of the things that I love to see happen is I love to see people in the church fall in love with Jesus, get discipled in their walk with Jesus, and then become leaders in that church that they grew up in spiritually. And this is what I love to see take place in the lives of people as we build up leaders, as we train leaders, as God calls them out. Because that's what the scriptures tell us, is that God is the one who raises up leaders in our church. It's a God calling as men are raised up in eldership to oversee and shepherd and pastor the people of their church. And so we're asking God to do that. We're asking God to raise up elders to serve as shepherds and overseers. Sure.
And In some cases, that's already happening. So those of you who have been with us for at least the last year, 2 to 3.5 years we've been here in Saratoga, you've kind of experienced both now, where you've experienced the season we were in, where we were one church but multiple locations. So we were dependent in many ways upon Troy, especially human resources-wise, with Pastors Ed as a lead pastor and Pastor Paul and Pastor Rob as a worship pastor. And so one of the good things about this transition is it forces our hand by creating some voids for leadership to have to raise up. So, yes, you were already a leader and serving another church, but it created the void that the Lord was leading you to fill as lead pastor here in Saratoga of a church that needed to become autonomous. It created the void for Matt Schwartz and Matt Bowman to step into their roles as leading us in worship, which they're just really thriving and growing in. It created the voids in our Terra Kids program, and now we see someone like Erin Lawrence, who's going to introduce herself a little bit later today if you don't know her, step into that role as coordinator and has some assistant coordinators coming alongside her. So voids, for the right reasons created, are good things because they end up serving as a catalyst for people who are gifted, but maybe even don't know it yet, to step in and use those gifts and grow and develop those. So it's a really good thing that we already see happening and then plan to continue to cultivate leadership development.
And I would say this is a good point for me to jump into equipping people to serve as well, because this is one of our big goals for this coming year. 1 Corinthians tells us that we are all part of the body of Christ, that the church really isn't a building, it's not a place, it's people. And that as part of this body, each and every one of us has been given certain gifts, certain abilities, certain talents to serve that church. And that in that process, as we serve the church, we are building up the church. We are helping equip the church. We are helping the church grow and build and disciple so that discipleship can happen. And one of our goals over this next week is to help train women, men and women to be servants in the church and then cut them loose to serve the church and even maybe here in Saratoga, even beyond, as we build up leaders, as we train them, as we equip them to work in the church and to serve the church and use their gifts for the benefit of the body of the church, as the body grows together in unity, as it grows together in wholeness and fullness under Jesus. This is some of what we are working towards as we build up the believers. As independent church, we are independently expressing our mission. You know, our mission is to make more and better disciples of Jesus. So as we gather, our goal is to faithfully proclaim the word of God, to be centered on who Christ is. You know, we're going to be a church that is where Christ is central in everything we do, from the music that we sing to the word that is proclaimed. We're always looking for Jesus. Where is he in this passage? Where is he in this song? Where is he in what we're doing as we're serving and walking? We're going to be committed to our tribes, which is our small group ministry, which is our primary tool for discipleship, growth, and evangelism. Because, friends, discipleship doesn't happen an hour and a half on Sunday as you stare at the back of someone's head and listen to me yap on up here. Discipleship happens in community. Discipleship happens with other believers in relationships as you wrestle with and walk through this journey of faith together. Learning from one another, challenging one another, equipping one another, pouring out and teaching one another. This is a huge piece of our mission and direction and for discipleship of making more and better disciples. Tribes is a wonderful place for people. It's a great front door for people who might be not interested or kind of concerned about walking into a church building, who might come to your house and want to hang out and learn what you have learned, to see what you have seen, to be a part of, experience those things, and a great front door for them then to come in. And by the time they get here, they already have people they know, people they're connected with, communities that are already functioning around them. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Daniel, just in your experience with tribes and how impactful that has been for you or for those you've served.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, I'll speak for me, and probably for some of you who maybe, if there are people who have been Christians a long time, you've traditionally thought of mission and especially evangelism as being something that happens as on an individual level and then also maybe on a corporate level where the church will gather together for a project or something like that. And I think a biblical model are both of those things but and more as well. And I think that the place where we really want to see that work itself out, not only discipleship as in growing as better disciples, maturing in our faith, but also making more disciples as in the context of our small group ministries, our tribes. To be on mission on that level, what does that look like? Well, one of the things that Jesus said that struck me a couple of years ago and just caused me to really buy into the idea of mission at the level of our tribes is he said to his disciples, he said, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another, right? So implied in that is a couple of things. One thing is the idea that there has to be more than one disciple for love to be seen by the outside world. So it's already talking about mission happening in the context of community. But it also implies the idea that those who don't yet know Christ have to be in close enough proximity to that community that's happening to even see real love on display, not superficial love, but the kind of love that happens when conflict and suffering enters into the lives of believers and they come alongside one another and care for each other. And so that's the kind of thing that we hope more and more so for our tribes to become the front door for other people who are drawn to have an affinity for Christ and his church to come in the context of those relationships and get to know him more that way, as more of a front door even than on a Sunday morning when we gather.
And as part of that mission of making more and better disciples, we look at our job as in evangelism, that we are pilgrims who are scattered to the world. We gather here together on Sundays, but then we scatter throughout the week to be missionaries in our community. And we want to see our church grow, not by transfer growth from necessarily from other churches, although that happens as times people move and things like that, but primarily we want to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see the gospel witness that we proclaim go forth in power throughout this community and see many people who are walking in darkness to be exposed to who Jesus is, what he has done for them, and to come in faith and come to him in faith. And join with us in this as we work together in this discipleship process. I have no desire to be the coolest, hoppest, hittest, newest church that brought you whatever. That's not what we want to be. We want to desire to be a place where the ancient gospel is faithfully proclaimed, where Christ is central to all that we do in our music and our activity in our life, a church that is not built on the personality of one person, not the coolest, newest fad, but a church that's built on the person of Christ, because he will never disappoint. He will never disappoint us and leave us lacking. He is the one who must grow our church. And so our goal is, as we look at the community in Saratoga, of how we can reach people with the gospel of Jesus and how we can do that in a way that is culturally relevant to where they are, to be missionaries to them in this place. As part of our mission of making more and better disciples, we want to be serving our community. This is the missional expression Daniel just talked about, being the hands and feet of Christ as ambassadors of reconciliation in our world, specifically in this place. Last week we talked about this as we learned about Joseph and what he did in his place of exile as he pressed forward for the shalom and the good and the peace of this place where he found himself. We too want to be like that. We want to be a church that is praying for our community, that is a part of our community, that is pushing back against evil where we see it, taking care of those who are in need, you know, expressing the gospel through our very actions in our lives. These are some of the goals we have as far as the discipleship. And that goes not just for our adults, but also for our children. It doesn't take a lot to look around here and see we've got a lot of families and a lot of kids and a lot of youth that are here. And we feel like a responsibility to that. We feel like we need to be good stewards of those children that God has given us. So how are we going to do that? Our goal as a church is to come alongside of parents, come alongside of families, and partner with parents by helping equip them to be the primary influencers and their students in their children's spiritual lives. You as mom and dad, you as families, are the primary spiritual influencers in your life. We want to come alongside of you and help you and equip you for that. We want to create a culture of mentorship for children and for youth. We desire to create a family culture that offers parents support and structure of godly men and women in the church who can invest in the life of their kids. I can tell you from being a part of a church for 14 years and seeing this happen well, every Sunday morning my son would come into the door and see the candy man, who was Mr. Bulch, who was an 80, now he's almost 90-year-old World War II veteran. And he'd put their arm around them, and he'd hug them, and he'd love them. And I remember one of my favorite memories in my life is we picked up Mr. Balch. We did a little special kind of honoring of him as a World War II veteran at the church. When we got to pick him up and drop him off at his house, and my son came with me. And one of my greatest memories is Mr. Balch putting his arm around my 11-year-old boy and just whispering into his ear truth, speaking to him about what it means to be a man and how to love God and honor God. That was a precious moment to me. That's the kind of thing we want to see happen here. As we all, whether we're parents or not, whether you're single, whether you're newly married, whether your kids are grown and out of the house, that you have opportunity to pour and invest in the families and the kids that you see running around here on Sunday morning. We had a guy come to our church last summer and get up. He was a kid who came to our church as an 8-year-old little boy. Single mom, dad was out of the picture, didn't have any kind of really male influence in his life. He got up and gave testimony. He's now a grown adult man, and he is in seminary preparing to become a pastor. And he got up to give testimony of how the church impacted him. And he got up one Sunday morning, he went around and pointed to the people who had invested in him, who had been there for him, who picked him up, took them to doctor's appointments, was there for him, trained him, taught him, discipled him. And it was just a beautiful moment for me as you got to see years later the investment that people had. We want to create that culture here. We want to create a culture where the parents in our church, in our congregation, can count on and lean on the other people in their church to invest in the lives of their kids. We want to help our kids find their spiritual gifts and use them in service, that they come here and they serve the church because they're part of the church. We want to see them grow in community and relationship with their peers, and so we're working on opportunities with our youth ministry to partner with other churches within the network to help create activities and opportunities for our youth to get together to gather. We've talked about doing things like a youth tribe where the youth can gather in the homes of the people in our church and experience their faith journey together in community and relationship with those who are their peers. And these are some of the things that we're dreaming about. These are the things we're praying about and asking God to give us as we look down the road this year. There's some other opportunities of discipleship that we're working on as well. And some of these revolve around redemption groups. Daniel, would you share a little bit about redemption groups, just because this is something that you are working so closely with?
Yeah, and it might be fairly that the name redemption groups in the ministry might be fairly new to some of you guys, so I'll take an opportunity for a shameless plug. About 4 years ago or so, there were actually three elders on staff at Terra Troy in Saratoga, and we were recognizing our limitations when it came to meeting the needs of both congregations pastorally and especially in the realm of counseling. So what we did is that served as the impetus to start a kind of a lay counseling collective of people who are interested, have passions or gifts in that area, maybe no professional experience, but we were okay with that, taking them in and training them. And along that journey of training up people to be kind of the traditional one-on-one counselor, we encountered this ministry called Redemption Groups, which in essence what it is it's counseling in the context of community. And the idea is, these are designed for believers who maybe are stuck at some point in life because of suffering in their life, because of sin patterns in their life, and they just need this concentrated season of discipleship. But the idea is they're believers who have the Spirit of God in them. As Scripture says, we are a priesthood of believers. That's in reference to everyone, not just a pastor, not just the Old Testament sense of a priest. And the reason that is true is because we have God's indwelling Spirit in us. And so the idea is, in the context of these groups, anyone can minister to anyone else if they are open to the Spirit leading and guiding through them. And in some ways, that can be even a more productive setting for spiritual growth and transformation than in the traditional one-on-one setting. And so we began to take this group of lay volunteers and kind of shift our idea towards these redemption groups instead. And so we had our soft launch for redemption groups this past January. It took about 15 people or so from both locations through that redemption group. A lot of those were tribe leaders, as this was kind of our soft launch, our testing grounds, and we wanted to be able to both encourage and build them up, but also give them exposure, because redemption groups are going to be designed for people who are already in our tribes, and here's why. Because it's just a short-term season. It's kind of a pit stop along the way, an off-ramp, if you will, concentrated intense season of discipleship, but ultimately those things have to be worked out in the context of community, which again for us at Terra is going to be in tribes. So anyway, redemption groups are going to be in full swing as of this fall. Our first full launch will be actually starting in October. It's something that we're really excited about, looking forward to. Again, it's one of those things that is it's a part of our interdependence. It's a part of our network, and that we have lay counselors from all different locations and leaders from locations that are pooling together our resources in order to make this a possibility for all the churches within the network. So it's something we're excited about. It's something that if you have questions about, want to learn more about, I would love to talk with you. So feel free to seek me out at some point or email me.
Awesome. How many of you were part of the beta launch for the redemption groups? Okay. Many of you. Great. We're working on other opportunities as well for development and discipleship to happen here. Part of the Leadership Collective, where we're helping train men and women for leadership. Theology in the Tap are some things that we're talking about bringing back. Some of our goals over the next few years are the next few months and the next few this season as we kind of transition here. We have had the great privilege of being in this place in First Baptist Church. Anyone here from FBC today? Jeff and Doris, guys, thank you. Hug those people as you go out. They're amazing people. FBC has been so gracious to us to let us worship here. They've been so flexible with us as we move from Sunday night to Sunday morning. There are so many great benefits we have being a part of having church here. There's also difficulties as we try to not have a place of our own during the week. We're walking through those things, but we're working with FBC to build on building relationships and opportunities that we can grow together as churches. Daniel and I are working on presenting a plan to rehab some of the downstairs kid space to kind of create more opportunities and more for our children, but also more opportunities for us to work with FBC on some things. So we're excited about some of those potential things that happen as we go through the next few months. So those are some of our goals. We have some financial goals as we're setting out, and you'll be able to see this. And Daniel kind of shows some of this on the as we look at the new website, which is coming out today. You get to see some of this stuff that we've been talking about here. But we're working towards financial sustainability and independence over the next season, that we can support ourselves in a sustainable way with the income and the tithes and offerings that we have here. We're going to be working through that, in addition to that, of setting some goals for the future, some things that we need, some infrastructure pieces, as we need funding for different equipment and things like that that might go above and beyond what our budget is. We're going to be looking to raise money for that outside of the church from other churches that are wanting to support a plant in Saratoga. We already have one church, Newtown Road, that is supporting us. We're looking to create greater inroads for people who are outside the church to kind of support what God is doing here. There's some immediate needs we have as far as equipment and sound and kind of infrastructure things. And then future needs. As we dream about what God has for us in the future, as we dream about where we're headed, we're looking down the road and saying, okay, where are we going to be? What are we going to need financially? And so we're really seeking God's direction on those things as we just ask Him to lead us. You know, our vision is really simple. We just want to follow Jesus. We want to do what He's doing. We want to be a part of what He is doing right here in Saratoga in the best way we can. Now I'm going to turn it over to Daniel, as he's going to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of the website that is coming out today. We're really excited about this. We're working hard. The guys that are part of the network have been working hard. We've been kind of writing content. Many of you helped us with that. So, Daniel, why don't you just take us through a little preview of this new website?
Sure. So you've heard a lot about the movement away from the model we've had over the past 3.5 years, from one church, multiple location, to this autonomous yet interdependent family of churches, the Terra Nova Network. One of the ways in which that's going to be reflected is in a brand new website that is actually live as of today. This has been a big investment of people's time, energy, and resources, but it's well worth it. If you're familiar at all with our old website, it really was, in many ways, Troy-centric. And that just by virtue of the fact that Troy had been the location around the longest and the website was originally built for us. So there wasn't really a way for us to be able to express what does it look like to do life with us and what opportunities are there for us here in Saratoga. And so the new website is going to be kind of a reflection of both the best of both worlds, the fact that we're a network, but also individual websites for each location. And this isn't to patronize any of you because I know you know how to surf the web, but what I wanted to do is kind of get you excited about how this website is going to be actually a useful tool in advancing the ministry of the gospel here in Saratoga and throughout the area that the Terra Network churches are a part of. So I'm going to just point out some of the things, the key features and highlights for you, and I'm going to, this is probably overkill, but Scott had a laser pointer, and so I really wanted to use it. So when you log into the same web address as it was before, terranovachurch.org, you're going to come to this page over here, the little offset page, and you're going to see, the first thing, the impression you're going to get is, this is something a little different. This is a network, a family of churches who are working together. And if you want to explore more about what it means that we're a network, there's a little icon in the upper right-hand corner you can click on, and then any of these diamond-shaped icons you can click on to go to the individual websites. So, Tracy, you can go ahead and advance it. If you were to click on that icon in the upper right-hand corner, it gives you a drop-down menu of different options that you can explore as to what it means that we're a part of a network. An overview of what that means, our story. The beliefs and values is a section I really want to encourage you guys to check out, only because it'll give you a clear description of how we talk about and what we mean by things like the gospel, discipleship, the way we read the Bible, our core values, and you're going to see how those are nested into one another, how there are actually threads through all of them that tie them together that are visually represented in an amazing way, and it's going to give you a really good idea of who we're about, what we're about here at Terra. There are some resources that are shared and useful to churches across the network. And then starting at this point moving forward, there's going to be a blog on a weekly basis put out by different pastors, staff members, and even people who aren't on staff at Terra. We're going to collect those and start putting those out on a weekly basis, and those will be available on the network part of the website. If you want to go to the next slide, Tracy, if you were to have clicked on that diamond shape for Saratoga, that will take you to our individual website, our homepage. So you're going to see this, and the first thing you're going to see is actually one of those little carrots up there to play a video, which is like a two-minute overview of someone's experience if they're to come here on a Sunday morning. So that's good for those who are kind of newer and visitors. But then much of the rest of it is really built for the person who calls Terra home in terms of resources that are ongoing and made available to you so you know what's going on here. You have the little thumbnail icon down here. If you were to click on that, that will always take you to the most recent sermons in our sermon series. To the right, you've got an icon that if you were to click on, it'll take you to a newer page for us that you'll see in a moment that has to do with news and events that are taking place at Terra. Tracy, if you want to go to the next one, at the bottom of this screen, this is kind of an enlarged version. You see icons for some of the various, the most important ministries at Terra. So our tribes, our kids ministry, youth, Imago and Poema, serving. If you were to go to the serving icon, click on that, you'd end up, it'd take you to descriptions of all the volunteer roles, and you could sign up right online. You could also sign up right online for tribes as well and any of the other events that are going along with the other ministries. And then if you want to advance once more, Tracy, this is going to be what you'd get to if you were to click on the news and events icon on our homepage, and so you'll be able to scroll through up here all the different events taking place, see kind of an archive of the different news articles that have been published in the past, and then if you advance again, you're going to see a close-up of that event, and you can actually click on it to find out more details. You can actually RSVP through the website now. So what you're seeing is it's a much more of a living web presence than before. Rather than having static information that you want to know and you read once and you kind of, okay, now it's going to be a living web presence and that there's going to be constantly new blog articles, new events that are going to be updated on there, news articles, sermon podcasts, and things along those lines. So I think there's one more slide beyond that, Tracy. I really want to encourage you guys this week, would you just like navigate the website and just check it out and let us know if you have any feedback or questions. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be a useful tool to help congeal this congregation in terms of knowing what's going on in the life of this church moving forward. And we would love for you to send any questions you have to saratoga@terranovachurch.org. Also, in view of, as you saw, the previous slide was about our town hall meeting next Sunday. This will help you to prepare with any questions that you might have. We would love to get those questions for you in advance to help us prepare, and then we can address those next Sunday, whether they have to do with the website or anything else that comes to your mind from what we're talking about today or any other questions you may have. So just to plug that, and I'll probably be mentioning again during announcements as well, please come to the town hall meeting next Sunday. If you call Terra home, that's one of those meetings you do not want to miss. In fact, it can be very formative in shaping the leadership's understanding of where our congregation is at, what's important and on your guys' hearts, to direct and guide our thinking as we're leading the way and casting vision for this church moving forward. So,
Thank you, Daniel. Yes, we're really excited about our website, so please take a look at that this week and join us in two weeks, right, for our town hall meeting.
Next week.
Sunday. Okay, next Sunday. Okay, sorry. That's why Daniel's here, because details sometimes. Yeah. Friends, thank you for letting us do this today. Thank you for listening as we dream about what God is doing and what he's going to do. Friends, we're planning Saratoga Springs for one singular purpose, and that's this, is that the people of God in Saratoga Springs, the people of Saratoga Springs matter to God. That's why we're here. That's why we weren't sucked off the planet the minute we believed. One day, someone in your life sat down with you and told you who Jesus was. They shared with you the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. One day, maybe it was the first time you heard it, maybe it was the 100th time you heard it, but you were illuminated by the Holy Spirit. You understood and you believed. And that day you were transferred from death to life, from darkness to light. On that day you walked in wholeness and fullness with Jesus because of what Christ had done. And friends, that is our desire for the people of Saratoga Springs. That is our desire. That's what we want to see happen with the people who walk up and down these streets. We want to see life change happen, transformation come through the power of the gospel. This is our desire. We believe the best way to do that, the best way to be on this great disciple-making mission, is to have a vibrant, loving, Christ-centered, gospel-proclaiming church in the heart of Saratoga Springs. And friends, my prayer, and I ask you to join with me on this, is my prayer is this, that anything that good that takes place because of what this church does, and in this church and in this community, my prayer is this, is that the only one who can give the credit for it is Jesus. As that as we look at what has taken place, we, like we learned last week of Potiphar, looking at Joseph, points to Joseph and says, I can see that in everything you're doing, God is with you. And that's my desire to see and happen in this church with the people of this church, that we look at what happens a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and say, well, this is a God thing. Look at what he has done and give him glory and honor for it. Let's pray together, and we'll close our service and worship and the Lord's Supper. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our opportunity we've had to just kind of share a little bit about our heartbeat that we feel is from you, God, of where you're leading us and guiding us and directing us. And so, God, I pray above all that we would be able to see your hand moving, that we would be able to point to no other victory other than what you have brought. And that, God, we would be able to rejoice in the things that you are doing for your namesake and for your glory and for your honor. God, I pray for the people of Saratoga Springs. I pray that we can have an impact in their lives. And I pray that through our testimony, through our witness, we could see many come to faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ and walk in light, pass from darkness to light, from death to life. God, we pray for this. We pray that we get to see your glory in this. Lead us and guide us, we pray, on this. Help us follow hard after you, we pray. In your name, amen.